Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more. On the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
I'm Andrew McDermott, and that was my three-year-old Caledonia with a hearty welcome to the show. On this episode, part three of our Scottish Poetry and Song series, featuring more great poems from Scotland's poets, old and new, and a nice selection of poetry set to music. Visit www.simplyscottish.com to browse other episodes of the show and get in touch with us. Join our online community of Scotland lovers all over the world. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter for episode updates, news, trivia, and our monthly music giveaway. That's facebook.com/simplyscottish or via Twitter with @simplyscottish. Let's start with some poetry and song. This is The Outsiders from Deacon Blue.
Didn't know you
You're listening to Simply Scottish. Robert William Service, known as the Bard of the Yukon, was born in Lancashire, England. His father, Robert Sr., was a banker from Kilwinning, Scotland, who had been transferred to England with his job. Robert grew up in Scotland and wrote his first poem at 6 years old. Along with a fondness for verse from the likes of Browning, Keats, and Tennyson, Service enjoyed the adventure stories of Robert Louis Stevenson and Rudyard Kipling. In 1895, at age 21, with some savings and a letter of recommendation from the local bank, Service journeyed to Montreal, Canada. He travelled to Vancouver Island by train and lived there for several years, gathering material for his poetry through his experiences working on cowboy ranches and his travels throughout the West. While stationed in the Yukon with the Canadian Bank of Commerce, he published his first collection of poems, Songs of a Sourdough, which brought him acclaim. He was a correspondent for the Toronto Star during the Balkan Wars, and during the First World War spent time in France, where he met his wife Germaine. After World War II, Service would return to France, spending time in Paris and the French Riviera, and living in the region until his death in 1958. Robert Service wrote over 1,000 poems, including such well-known pieces as The Cremation of Sam McGee and The Men That Don't Fit In. He also wrote 2 autobiographies and 6 novels, including 2 thrillers that would later be made into silent films. In the 1942 film The Spoilers, he took a small acting role alongside Marlene Dietrich, John Wayne, and Randolph Scott. Service was also hailed as the People's Poet, a title he himself would be proud to retain. As he said himself, "Verse, not poetry, is what I was after. Something the man in the street would take notice of, and the sweet old lady would paste in her album. Something the schoolboy would spout, and the fellow in the pub would quote." Here's 3 of Service's poems now. Cheer. It's a mighty good world, so it is, dear lass, when even the worst is said. There's a smile and a tear, a sigh and a cheer, but better be living than dead. A joy and a pain, a loss and a gain, there's honey and maybe some gall. Yet still I declare, foul weather or fair, it's a mighty good world after all. For look, lass, at night when I break from the fight, my kingdom's awaiting for me. There's comfort and rest, and the warmth of your breast, and little ones climbing my knee. There's firelight and song. Oh, the world may be wrong, its empires may topple and fall. My home is my care. If gladness be there, it's a mighty good world after all. O heart of pure gold, I have made you a fold. It's sheltered, sun-fondled, and warm. O little ones, rest, I have fashioned a nest. Sleep on, you are safe from the storm. For there's no foe like fear, and there's no friend like cheer, and sunshine will flash at our call. So crown love as king, and let us all sing, it's a mighty good world after all. Let us believe. Let us thank God for this translucent time, this crystal tide of peace between 2 wars, when we can hear the bells of beauty chime and build our homes anew and lick our scars. Let us give praise for each dawn birth joy, each day in sunniness serenely spent. Let no dark boding grievously annoy our quietude and trouble our content. Let us not seek to weigh our happiness, but take the moment for its passing worth. Let no dark memories of strain and stress come now between us and our easy mirth. Let us be one with happy, heedless things, with lisping leaves and singing mountain rills, green fire of ferns and lilting linnet wings, delight in children's eyes and daffodils. Let us forget our memories of war, and in this gentling interlude of peace, take hope and comfort from the joys that are, and hold the humble hope of their increase. Let no fear of the future bring dismay. Let no pain of the past our gladness grieve. But with our hearts high heavened, let us say, there will be no more wars. Believe, believe. Heart o' the North. And when I come to the dim trail end, I who have been life's rover, this is all I would ask, my friend, over and over and over. A little space on a stony hill, with never another near me. Sky o' the north that's vast and still, with a single star to cheer me. Star that gleams on a moss-grey stone, graven by those who love me. There would I lie alone, alone, with a single pine above me. Pine that the north wind whinnies through, oh, I have been life's lover. But there I'd lie and listen to eternity passing over. Here's Emily Smith now with Somewhere Along the Road on Simply Scottish.
Somewhere along the road, someone waits for me. Beyond the present storms that blow, waiting patiently. No secrets held in an open heart, a spirit that soars over mountains. Somewhere along the road, someone waits for me. Searching for the day, a day away from happiness. Tomorrow will bring a new sunrise. Somewhere along the road, someone waits for me.
Hugh McDermott was born Christopher Murray Grieve in 1892 in Langholm. He grew up a voracious reader and worked as a journalist, covering the struggles of the coal miners in South Wales. Events of the time, including the Great War and the Easter Rising in Ireland in 1916, developed in McDermid a strong political awareness. He was a founder member of the National Party of Scotland in 1928, standing firmly for the cultural and political independence of Scotland. It wasn't too long before he turned his attention to the languages of Scotland. In addition to writing poetry in English, he began writing in Scots. As a journalist, editor, and writer, he had a good platform to promote a new vision and awareness of Scottish literature and language. He published essays exploring the literatures and languages of the British Isles, while Edwin Muir and T.S. Eliot were championing English and a one-language literature. McDermid defended the diversity of Scottish literature, editing The Golden Treasury of Scottish Poetry in 1940, an essential collection that included translations of work in Gaelic, French, and Latin, as well as poems in Scots and English. His defence and promotion of the Scots language in particular is remarkable. Scots had thrived as a language in Scotland, both in spoken and written forms, prior to the union with England in 1707. As one can imagine, it fell into disrepair as the steamroller of English paved 19th-century communication. Next to English, the Scots language was relegated to home and street, ruthlessly kept out of the classroom as slang, and discouraged in other ways. McDermid's efforts helped raise the profile for the Scots language and rescue it from the abuse it had suffered. A few of his most popular poems include the epic A Drunk Man Looks at the Thistle, Lament for the Great Music, and On a Raised Beach. McDermid remained a giant on the Scottish literary scene until his death on September 9, 1978, in Edinburgh. 4 days before his life ended, my life began. My father, who was a taxi driver in Edinburgh for over 20 years, used to pick up McDermid in his taxi, taking him various places in the capital city. Although not much of a poetry enthusiast, my dad knew about McDermid and appreciated his passion and effort for Scotland. Here's a recording of Hugh McDermid now, reading a portion of his poem, The Kind of Poetry I Want, in New York in 1969. Rights to the sound recording belong to the estate of Hugh McDermid. Following that, I'll read a few other short poems of McDermid's.
The Kind of Poetry I Want is a very long poem, and I only intend to read a small portion of it. The Kind of Poetry I Want. A poetry the quality of which is a stand against intellectual apathy. Its material founded, like Gray's, on difficult knowledge, and its meters those of a poet who has studied Pindar and Welsh poetry. But more than that, its words coming from a mind which has experienced the sifted layers on layers of human lives, aware of the innumerable dead and the innumerable to be born. The voice of the centuries, of Shakespeare's history plays, concentrated and deepened. The breath and finer spirit of all knowledge, the impassioned expression which is in the countenance of all science. A speech, a poetry to bring to bear upon life the concentrated strength of all our being, eloquent of victory in the stern struggle for self-conquest, real freedom, life free, unhampered, unalloyed, a deep religious impulse moving us, not that interpreted by others through systems of belief and practice, but the craving for the perfect synthesis of thought and action, which alone can satisfy our test of ultimate truth and conception of life's purpose. And not like only the 8% of the fuel that does useful work in the motor car. The bare 2%, the best incandescent lamp converts, of the energy received into radiation visible to the human eye, against the glowworm's 96% efficiency. Is not this what we require?
The Little White Rose. The rose of all the world is not for me. I want, for my part, only the little white rose of Scotland, that smells sharp and sweet and breaks the heart. The Covenanters. The waves of their purposefulness go flooding through me. This religion is simple, naked. Its values stand out in black and white. It is the wind of God, like standing on a mountaintop in a gale, binding, compelling, yet gloriously freeing. It contains nothing tawdry or trivial. Its very ugliness is compelling. Its bleakness uplifting. It holds me in a fastness of security. Scotland. It requires great love of it deeply to read the configuration of a land, gradually grow conscious of fine shadings, of great meanings and slight symbols, hear at last the great voice that speaks softly, see the swell and fall upon the flank of a statue carved out in a whole country's marble. Be like spring, like a hand in a window, moving new and old things carefully to and fro, moving a fraction of flower here, placing an inch of air there, and without breaking anything. So I have gathered unto myself all the loose ends of Scotland, and by naming them and accepting them, loving them and identifying myself with them, attempt to express the whole. Stuart Conn is a Scottish poet and playwright, born in Glasgow in 1936. He grew up in Ayrshire and had a long career working at the BBC. Until 1992, he was BBC Scotland's head of radio drama. He was the first poet laureate of Edinburgh from 2002 to 2005. Conn has published several collections of verse and a memoir. He has won 3 Scottish Art Council Book Awards and is editor of 2 poetry anthologies, including 100 Favourite Scottish Poems. This is one of Conn's poems, entitled Arrivals 1. The plane meets its reflection on the wet runway, then crosses to where I wait behind plate glass. I watch with a mixture of longing and despair as you re-enter the real world. All we have is each other. I sometimes wonder if that is enough, whether being together enlarges or diminishes grief. Back to music now, with a song from Session A9. This is One for the Road.
I thought it was a woman and I thought it was a man. One for the road, one for the river flowing. And give me one for the 4 strong winds that keep on blowing me away. I met her on a fair day, her face was full of smiles. She helped me on the ditches and helped me on the stiles. One for the road, one for the river flowing. Now give me one for the 4 strong winds that keep on blowing me away. Thank you. are strong winds that keep on blowing me away. Hey, is it one for the road, one for the river flowing, one for the four strong winds that keep on blowing me away?
This is Simply Scottish. On this episode, we're featuring Scotland's poets, both traditional and modern, in part three of a series. Listen to the other episodes at www.simplyscottish.com. I've been writing poetry myself since the late 1990s. I enjoy the joy and challenge of capturing life in as few words as possible. Something powerful happens when you distill life's moments in this way. Here's a poem I wrote recently exploring how technology has changed over the years. It's called Geographia. Before leaving the driveway, I type in our destination, beachside resort, and a far cry from these walls and freeways. High above the earth, satellites confirm our plans, and we begin our guided journey. Long ago, parchment and brushes were all you needed, along with some artistic flair and a desire to travel. Then came the compass, the telescope, the sextant, the printing press, and art became science. I imagine a look of consternation on Gerard Mercator's bearded face, listening intently to the lady's voice telling us where to go. How does she know, he'd think. Where are your maps? I would start to explain how contour lines and italic script have given way to software and global positioning systems, but my message, I'm sure, would get lost in translation. I do not speak 16th century Dutch, and he'd be too engrossed in the freeway signs and the instrument panel of my vehicle to understand. With all this at our fingertips, it's hard to appreciate them. The mapmakers, the explorers, the missionaries, the captains, traders, mathematicians, engravers, all of them working to harness the globe, pave the path, and illustrate the wonder. Standing on their shoulders, I can see our destination. That's all for this episode of Simply Scottish. Share your comments on this show and listen to others at simplyscottish.com. Don't forget to join our Scottish community online, facebook.com/simplyscottish, or Twitter @simplyscottish. And if you enjoyed the music on this episode, you can get your hands on a free Scottish album of your choice by entering our monthly music giveaway, sponsored by musicscotland.com. Enter online at www.simplyscottish.com. I'll leave you with a rendition of the Robert Burns favourite, Auld Lang Syne, by Ewan Robertson and Gary Innes. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again soon for more of All Things Scottish.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot, sin auld lang syne?
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright 2013, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
We twa here on up with the breeze and pulled the gowans fine, and we've won money's a weary fit, sin auld lang syne. For auld lang lang syne, jo, for auld lang syne, and we'll tak a couple kindness yet for auld lang syne. We twa he peddled in burn from morning sun till dine, but the seas between us played he roared to no lang syne. For auld lang syne, a jo, for auld lang syne, time. And surely you'll be my pint stead, and surely I'll be thine, and we'll tak a couple kindness yet for auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my jo, for auld lang syne, and we'll tak. And here's a hand, my trusty fiend, and gie's a hand, oh thine, and we'll tak a ricked weary walk for auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, jo, for auld lang syne, and we'll tak a couple kindness yet for auld lang syne.